We're doing the Drashot Ramban, and we're up to page Kuf Ayin Aleph, the middle of the page, where you have number 49 in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. They're selling this edition, a new edition with a commentary Beit Hayayin, and the advantage of this edition is that they fixed it up. And in our section, it's very important what they fixed up, because there were a few words missing when we learned last time. And when you learn it, what we're supposed to learn today, it's a little bit cumbersome to make heads or tails. So what the Ramban has been doing, we're up to page Tzadi Chet in this new edition of the Toshat HaOman Torat Hashem Tmima HaShlema, and page Kuf Ayin Aleph in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. And what the Ramban basically, the Ramban was discussing sacrifices, the concept of sacrifices, and the Ramban was discussing why did the Torah give us the genealogy of Esav. The Ramban gave us a very humanistic approach, very interesting understanding, that the Torah wanted to ensure that we don't kill innocent bystanders, that when we have a mitzvah to wage war against Amalek, we don't include all their relatives, which are all descendants of Esav. So the Ramban says that's why the Torah gives us an exact genealogy of Esav. Mm-hmm. And then the Ramban started discussing the history. When we're discussing genealogy, we encounter the fact that idol worship was introduced to the world, and so the Ramban goes off on a tangent explaining what is idol worship. So the Ramban says that idol worship can be broken down to three types. One type of idol worship are those that serve the demons. That the demons really, they have no control over the world, but there are spirits that exist and can pick up information what God decrees is about to happen. So the Ramban says, those people who serve the demons, so they could know to an extent what's going to happen within the next year. But they don't know more than that. The Ramban says that this encompasses also those that give sacrifices. They burn incense to the dead, because that's all that same concept. The spirits that are up there, and they could hear what's going on in the future. The second type of avodah zarah, the Ramban had said, was those who serve the sun, the moon, the constellations, the zodiac. And he said each nation would erect an altar to their shape in the zodiac, to their groupings of stars, and they thought that that would strengthen their mazel. And he explained based on that the Egyptians, they worshipped the sheep. That was, according to their opinion, that was their mazel, that was their sign in the zodiac, and that's why they didn't eat sheep, and they disgraced anyone who would herd sheep. So that's also, he said, that's also why the Torah gave us the mitzvah to sacrifice the Paschal offering, specifically in Nisan, which is the month where that sign in the zodiac is strongest, and Hashem shows that He controls everything. And the third type of Avodah Zarah, and that's where we were up to, the Avodah Zarah Shlishit, the third type of Avodah Zarah, Hima Ovdim Namalachim. They are the people who worship angels. Hima Schalim Anivdalim, that's a reference to the concepts. The Hima Sarim Shelumot, and these angels are, different angels were given the position of being representatives, the officers of different nations. Kmo she'nemar, as we find in Daniel, v'sal malchut paras, the angel who was the officer of the kingdom of Persia, v'sal yavan. Daniel speaks about the angel who's the officer of the Greeks, Michael salchem, and even the Jewish people have an angel that's their officer in heaven, the angel Michael. O she'achshavu she'yesh lehem yicholet, so people attribute different strengths to these angels, or else they assume that they're going to speak good upon their behalf before God if we only serve them. And so different nations serve their officers in the hope that their angels will represent them in heaven. So this, says the Ramban, is the third type of idol worship. And the Torah warns us not to adopt any of these beliefs. And it would seem, says the Ramban, that even to pray to these angels, we know there's Michael, the angel up above, who's representing us, to pray to him, even though we're asking him represent us before God, that too would be forbidden. So Maimonides clearly says that's forbidden. Nachmanides, he uses the word v'nireh, and it would seem. And in a second he's going to explain why he's slightly hesitant. K'mo sh'nemar ba'agadah, like it says in the Jerusalem Talmud on Brachos, the Talmud says like this, basal v'adam yesh lo patron. Im bat lo yitzara, ino nechnas levito pitom. A human being, flesh and blood, when he has a friend, someone in high power, when this human being has an issue, he doesn't suddenly come into his house. Ela olech v'omed al petach hatzero, but what does he do? If I need your help, what do? I come, I stand outside your yard. Shel patrono v'kore le'avdo leben beito, I call your servant, or he calls his child, v'umer lo ishploni omed b'chutz, and then he tells him, tell your dad I'm standing outside, ask him if I could come in. Aval ha-kadosh v'alchu einochin, but God says, I'm not like that. Says the Jerusalem Talmud, by God, El Amara Kadosh Bahu imbat lechayet zara. God says, if you're in a time of need, lo titzvach lo le Michael velo le Gabriel v'yanu lecha. Don't call out not to the angel Michael, nor to the angel Gabriel, and they should answer you. El alitzvach, but rather call out to me, v'ani enelecha, and I'll answer you. Hadao dichtiv, that's what the verse says in the prophet Yoel. Kol asher yikra b'shem Hashem yimalet. Whoever calls out in God's name will escape. We're not calling out to the angel Gabriel, but rather they call out to me. So that's what it says in the Jerusalem Talmud. Now we have a problem. Because we have prayers in the 10 days in Aseret Yemei Teshuva. We have additions that we say also in different times of the year, which do refer to the angels. So says the Ramban, ulefi zen, according to this, anu chochechin b'michael sara rabba. That addition that some people add at different times of the year, I don't know at which time this was added in their time, but there was an addition in which they'd call out to Michael, the great angel. Yeah. According to what we just said, we're not supposed to do that. And during the days of when we say Slichot, and during the 10 days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, many people have the custom that they conclude their Slichos with Machnisei Rachamim. Machnisei Rachamim. Right? The angels who bring in mercy before God take our prayers in before God. So says the Ramban, we're not happy with that. We don't approve of those additions to prayer. And so it seemed to be the opinion of Maimonides in his work Mada. Now, we have to break down what?
What means emulating the angels in Kedush?
So that's different. What we're saying in Kedusha is that we'll join them in singing God, in praising God. The angels praise you just like they praise you in heaven, we'll praise you down below. That's different. But we're not asking anything of the angels. We're praising God. We're saying that we'll adopt the praise that the angels say up above. Okay? That's not posing a request to the angel.
And if we are asking angels, so in the prayer, we are automatically at the same moment, we are like worshipping, like bowed before them.
Okay,
so it's also prohibition. The angel said, don't worship before me, don't bow before me.
So Maimonides says like that, and Nachmanides says it would seem that way. But the truth is that there's room to delve a little deeper here. Because you find that Yaakov Avinu, at the end of his fight with the angel, what does he tell the angel? He says, bless me.
Yeah.
Yaakov finishes the fight with the angel, it says in the Torah, he asks the angel for a blessing. So there's room for discussion here, and the truth is that the Ramban did not quote us a clear source for this prohibition. The Jerusalem Talmud that he quoted, so the Jerusalem Talmud tells us that God says, if you have a time of danger, don't call these angels, you could call me. But you know what? It doesn't say it's prohibited to call the angels. says that God says, you don't have to work through other people. You have me directly there for you.
It's like Catholicos, through different saints, people, and the angels.
Okay, but the Jerusalem Talmud that Nachmanides quoted, to my humble eye, is a little bit a weak source to say that it's prohibited. The Jerusalem Talmud says, we have the good fortune that God says, I'm available for you.
Yeah.
But I don't see where it says that it's prohibited to call out to the angels. Nachmandi says, this is a type of idol worship. Okay.
But if my patron, if my father availed me, it's very strange that I'm going to servants of my father, if I can enter to my father.
It might not be intelligent of me, but that doesn't mean it's prohibited. Meaning, I don't see here a strong source to say it's prohibited. Ubimin zeshel avodah zarah amar ha-katuv v'yavdu elohim acherim. And with reference to this type of avodah zarah, the verse says that the Jewish people served other gods. Why? What does it mean they served elohim acherim? Ki ha-malachim nikraim elohim. For the angels are referred to as elohim. El is potent force. Elohim is multiple forces. So we know that Elohim could be a reference to the courts down below, and Elohim could be a reference to the angels above. So the angels are also called Elohim, v'hem Elohei Hashamayim, because they, so to speak, are the forces above in heaven, v'ashoftim Elohei Haaretz, and the judges, they're the forces down below. Who has force here below? That's the judges. They're, so to speak, God's representative. They enforce law and order here. As we find that God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I am appointing you a leader in Egypt, Nitaticha Elohim leFaro, God says. What does that mean? You're going to judge Pharaoh now. Elohim lo tekalel. When the Torah prohibits us from cursing the judges, the Torah says, Elohim lo tekalel. Tilgum, and the translation of that is, Dayana, don't curse the judge. Ulechach amar ha-katuv zoveach le-Elohim yachoram. That's why the verse says, he who offers a sacrifice to Elohim, he will be destroyed. B'fatachut alam, it doesn't mean la Elohim, to tell us to, doesn't mean to God, it means to the angels. Ki hen tzivot mala, for there the army is up above, she'elohutam v'chocham yadua. That their potency, their power, their strength is known. So there is a force above. There are angels above, and they do have strength, they do have capacity to do things. V'chen tir'e basiyah shel Yirmiyah, as we find, Jeremiah spoke to his accompaniment, he spoke to them about these two types of Avodah Zarah. He tells them, you guys are all worshipping idols. When Jeremiah tries to rebuke them, he says, this will bring about their downfall. So the verse says over there, all the men who knew that their wives were offering sacrifices to the other forces, they all replied to Jeremiah. Who are their wives offering sacrifices to? What are the Elohim Acherim? So that's what we just said. That's the angels that their wives were offering incense to. The Shaman there, the verse also says, La'asot kavanim limlechat ha-shamayim. They also made the different shapes for the armies in the heaven, and that's a reference to the sun, the moon. That's the second type of Avodah Zarah. You remember the Ramban broke it down to three types of Avodah Zarah. One is spirits, two is the celestial beings, the sun, the moon, the zodiac, and three is the angels up above. So Jeremiah is rebuking the people, and he's recording that the people's wives were serving incense to the angels above, and they were making the different shapes for the different constellations in heaven. Yeah?
How about angels different than spiritual beings?
So I'm saying, there are the spirits, the shadim, the spirits of people who passed, that's one thing.
Oh.
And then there are the angels. V'inyan avodah zarah shel Yisrael lo'olam haya min hakat hazeh. And the Jewish people, traditionally, says the Ramban, whenever we strayed off and we did idol worship, we ended up worshipping the angels. We never went and we weren't interested in worshiping other types of idols, but when we find that the Jewish people strayed, it was that they strayed after the angels. And now the Ramban is going to enter a fascinating sugya. The Ramban has a fascinating explanation of what was the Chet HaEgel. What were the Jewish people doing with the Egel? V'anshei HaEgel asu avodah zarah zo, Yeah. Okay. Yontan, you want the text? Over here, at the bottom of page 259. The Anshei Ha'egel and the people of the Egel asu avodah zara zo. They made this type of avodah zara. Shenechleku lishtei deyot. Because when they made the Egel, they were divided into two opinions. Mitchila, initially when they made the Egel, yotzu la'asot lehem guf mekabel koach elyoni. They wanted simply to make a figurine that could accept godly powers. They weren't interested in making a god. They said, we need some figure to bring God's power down below to guide us. Talisma. And I couldn't find any of the versions here that translate what a talisma is. I'm not sure what that is. So I'm not sure if talisma is like a talisman. I think he's referring, based on the context here, and the context in his commentary in Shmos, he means that it was some kind of figure that could accept godly direction and lorot lehem derech hamidbar, some kind of like compass, some kind of godly compass that'll show them the way to go in the desert. Kmo shamru, as the Jewish people said, kum aselanu Elohim asher yochu lefaneinu. What did they say to Aaron? Get up and make for us an Elohim that will go before us. Ki zeh Moshe ha'ish, for this man Moshe that used to guide us, we don't know what's happened to him. So what were they asking of Aaron? Hinei b'chan shnei inyat dvarim. Over here we have two points. She'aselem Elohim she'avad me'em Moshe. They're telling him, make us an Elohim, because Moshe's gone. V'chi Moshe Elohim, was Moshe God? What are they asking him? They're telling him, make us an Elohim, because Moshe's God. Because Moshe's gone. Well, Moshe wasn't God. So what if Moshe isn't here? But Moshe wasn't God. Ve'od, and furthermore, vayomru, the people said when they had the golden calf, they said, Eile Elohecha Yisrael asher elucha me'eretz Mitzrayim. These are your Elohim Israel who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. V'chiyaleh ladan, can we entertain the thought, she'yaseh adam tzura, that a person will make a figure, v'yomar kihu hitzaltani, I'll say, that figure I just made, that saved me 10 days ago. What do you mean, I just made it? How could the Jewish people stand in front of the Egel and say, this is what took you out of Egypt? Kodem shenaset, could they declare this saved me before it was even made? Minayam u minashvi, this is what saved us from the sea. 40 days ago, 50 days ago, this is what saved me from captivity in Egypt. How could they say that? En lecha shote omerken, you don't have a fool who would say such a thing. So how are we to understand the Jewish people make a figure and they say, this is what saved us from Egypt? Ve'ot tireh, the Ramban is setting up the questions and then he'll explain the answer. Ve'ot tireh she'amar Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom la'aron, and furthermore, you see, when Moshe comes down the mountain, he says to Aaron, me'asah lecha ha'am hazeh, what did this nation ever do to you that you caused them such a great sin? That's what Moshe asks Aaron. Ve'ana lo, what does Aaron answer him? Al yicharaf adoni, don't be upset at me. You know this nation that they're bad. Ve'yomru li, and they said to me, aseh lanu Elohim, make for us an Elohim. Va'omalem lemizav. So I said, okay, who has gold? What's going on here? Moshe asks him, what'd you do? So Aaron says, well, all I did was I said, they asked me for an Elohim, and I said, okay, give me gold. V'zeni rema seksilut. It seems foolishness what's going on here. Zeni rema neksilut. It seems like his answer is totally foolish. Shehoda she'asalem egel shebikshu. What's Aaron answering Moshe? Moshe says, Why'd you bring such a sin on the nation? So Aaron says, well, they said, make me an Elohim. So I said, fine, give me gold. And I made them this Egel. What's he answering? Moshe's coming with a claim. And Aaron's saying, yeah, I took all the gold. They asked me for an Elohim, so I took all the gold. What's the answer? Ufatach lehem lemizahav. Aaron's admitting, I said, who has gold, donate to me gold. So what's going on here? So the Ramban, after asking all these questions, the Ramban is now going to explain. Aval ha'inyan baruhu. But the concept is clear. Shechashvu Yisrael sheMoshe Rabbeinu alav ha'shalom. The Jewish people thought that Moshe, our teacher, may he rest in peace, shayalem imtza'i v'shaliach, that he, so to speak, was a middleman. He was our messenger, beinam levin boram, between the Jewish people and their creator. They thought that nistalek mehim, that he was gone, that he had left them. ואמרו לאהרון, so they turned to Aaron and said, שיעשה להם גוף מקבל כוח אלוהים, that they he should make for them some object that could accept the godly power, שיקרא להם בשם משה, that he would be the one that was Moshe. We don't have Moshe, so make us some figure, some kind of thing that could accept God's word, that will guide us, that will tell us where to go. שכתוב בו, that about Moshe it says, ואתה תהיה לו לאלוהים. You are going to be Elohim, you're going to be the judge, you're going to be my representative down below. That's what God tells Moshe when Moshe begins his task. So when the Jewish people turn to Aaron, they say, look, Moshe's job was to be Elohim, to be our leader, to be our guide, to be God's representative down below. He's gone. So God needs another representative down below. So make us something that could be his representative. They said, make us this guide that will be able to guide us where to travel. Kasher ayu osim leMoshe, just as they would do with Moshe. Dichtiv bei, as it says, how did they travel? They traveled al pi Hashem, based on God say so, biyad Moshe, through Moshe's hand. Moshe was telling them, God said to travel this way, they traveled. Whenever we traveled, what does it say? Vayasa Moshe et Yisrael. The Jewish people were by the Yamsuf, and then Moshe said, gentlemen, God said we should move forward, let's move. Everyone follows Moshe, Moshe is God's representative down below. Then tchila lo amru lo v'doklan. And the people didn't ask for a figurine they should worship. They weren't asking for something to worship initially. V'seder ha-farsha, and when you look at the order of the parsha, Kikatuv, it says like this, Vayitpaku kol amet nizmeh zahav, the nation removed all their golden ornaments, their earrings, their nose rings. Vayikaf miyadam, Aaron takes all the gold. Vayatzar oto bacheret, Aaron fashions the gold. Vayomru ele Elohecha Yisrael. Then, when they see it, they say, this is your Elohim Israel. Ki miyad shera'u, when the Jewish people saw, they saw that this figurine was in the shape of an egel, a calf. Amru, so they said, Zagu, this body of that's the body of an egel. They said, wait a second, where did we come out of? Egypt. The mazel of Egypt was Teleh. How did we get out of Egypt? What helped us as far as the powers in the zodiac? It was the mazel of a calf. A young cow. Why? The Ramban is going to explain. The idea is as follows. And I'm going to summarize what we're going to read in the Ramban, just so we get the whole picture, and then we'll see it piecemeal in the Ramban himself. When Ezekiel has the godly view of God sitting on his throne above, so God's throne has four different animals, so to speak, supporting the throne. And the animals are described. On one side, there's this face. On the other side, there's this face. It's an angel that has four different faces. A different face on each side. On one side, it's the human face, the face of Yaakov Avinu. On another side, it's the face of an ox. And what's described is that to the right is the face of an ox. Now, whenever we speak about maps in Tanakh and in Talmud, so in ancient times, the top of the map was always east. They always placed the place where the sun rises on top. Just like today, we always place north on top, because we view the globe as north being on top. So they always said, wherever the sun rises, that's why east is called Kedma. Kedma, Kadima, forward. We're always facing the east. Now, off of the east, we could look to all the other sides. So if I'm facing the east, what's to my right? To my right is the north. Throughout Tanakh, whenever we describe east. Places,
oh,
we always...
East, right to south. East, to south, north.
I'm sorry. Right. So to the left. To the left is north.
Yeah.
And to the left, it says, is the face of the ox. I'm sorry, you're right. So it says that on the face of the chariots, so on the face of the angel that's carrying the chariots, to the left was the ox. What does it mean to the left? To the north. Now north, it says north is the source of evil. North is the source of destruction. The prophet says it in describing that the Babylonian Empire will attack from the north. And the rabbis have on tradition that the north is always representative of destruction. Even in creation, there's a concept that God left the northern side open. That there's a part of creation that God did not complete. The world is finite to the east, to the west, to the south. To the north, the world is not finite. God says, that's an area where I say, whoever claims he's God, let him finish that creation. I didn't finish the creation of the north. Whatever that means, that's what the sages teach us. That the north is always the source of destruction. The Jews were in a desert called Horeb. What does Horeb mean? Horeb is one of the names of the Sinai desert. Horeb means destruction. They were in a desert that was complete desolation. Nothing lasted in this desert. You couldn't live 2 days in this desert. How did they last? So they said, how did we last? What's the force that helps a person in an area of desolation? That's the force that comes from the area of desolation. The area of desolation, we just said, is the north. All destruction comes from the north. Mitzafon tipatach ha'ra'ah. Badness, Chazal say, comes from the north. So, if the north is the source of destruction, and the face of the angel that represents that is the ox, they said, well, if we've made it thus far in an area of destruction, then it must be that the angel that's responsible for the area of destruction has decided to do good with us. That's the angel, the shape of the ox. Who shaped it in the shape of an ox? Aaron. Right? Who shaped it? Aaron shaped it in the shape of an ox. So when they saw that, they said, wait a second. This is the angel that's responsible for this area of total desolation. If we've made it thus far, that's a perfect shape to help us. This is the force that carried us thus far. It doesn't say that took us out of Egypt. It says, Asher Helucha, that brought us up. It doesn't say that Asher Hotziucha, that took us out. So that's what they said. They said, wait, Aaron, you made a great representation of the force that's helped us thus far. That's not what Aaron meant to do. Aaron meant to make a shape that could accept God's directive to move us forward from there onward, but not to attribute to it the powers in the past. So let's read it in the Ramban. What I'm saying now is what he says here. He doesn't expand as much over here as he does in his commentary on Shmos, on the Parshas Kisisa. But let's read through the Ramban, and after we finish, then we'll try questions, okay? Let's just proceed inside. She'ilatam she'ilech mikan ve'ilach lifnehim. So, when they saw that figurine, what did they say? Ki miyad she'ro'u him she'ayal tzurat egel. When they saw it was the shape of a young calf, amru, then they declared, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, asher he'elucha me'eretz Mitzrayim. This is the force that brought you up from the land of Egypt. Zeh aguf, this body, asher siya lehem b'mazalam b'itziat Mitzrayim v'adata, that helped them with their constellation, with their part of the zodiac from the Exodus from Egypt till now. She'ilatam she'ilech mikan ve'elach lifnehim. So their request was that this figure will guide them from now on. Ve'od amru, and furthermore they said, Ad achshav ki Moshe he'elanu. Till now, they agreed. Moshe brought us till here. So how come they're switching? They're saying this figure took us thus far. And they knew Moshe brought them, Moshe led them. What are they saying? This is the force. This concept, how could they suddenly say, this is the force that brought us thus far, when they knew Moshe was leading them in the desert? The concept is as follows. It is explained by the rabbis in the Medrash Rabbah on Shmos. The Medrash says like this. When God came to take the Jews out of Egypt, God says to Moshe, Ra'o ra'iti et oni ami asher b'mitzrayim. See, I have seen the affliction of my nation in Egypt. Why does God use see, I have seen? Ra'o ra'iti, two terms for seeing. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, God said to Moshe, Moshe, ata ro'e ri'ya achat. Moshe, you see one sight. What do you see? You see, we'll see in a second. Vani ro'e shtei ri'yot, but I see two visions. Ata ro'e, from your perspective, what you see otan ba'in lehar Sinai mekablin torati. You see, the Jewish people are going to leave Egypt, come to Sinai, and accept my Torah. Vani ro'e, and what I see, shani nigla lehem betat ramolin sheli, vehem mitbonenim bi. I see that I will appear to them at Sinai with my tetramolin, and the Ramban is going to explain that tetra means four, and molin is tetra is four, like tetragram. Yeah, yeah. And molin is animals, like mules. With my four mules, the hemit bonenimbi, and they take a look at my four animals, and they take a look at me. The shomtin echad mehem, and they adopt, they grab one of them, umachisin otibo, and they anger me with that. Hadao dichtiv, that's what the verse says in Ezekiel, ufnei shor me'asmol al batan. On the left side, it had the face of a four. The four angels that were carrying God's chariots, on the left, it had the face of an ox. So that's what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash doesn't expand beyond that. Uperush ha-davar, so the Ramban explains, Kismol ha-katuv le-ma'ala, whenever we speak about the left, with reference to God, God is omnipresent, right? So what does it mean left and right? Left is a reference to Midat Adin. Midat Adin, that's a reference to God's trait of judgment. Moshe Amru, as the verse says, that when God is described, V'chol tzva shmaim omdim al yamino smolo, the angels of heaven are standing to God's right and left, our sages interpreted it, V'chiyesh smol v'yamin lefanav, does God have a right and a left? Ela elu ma'iminim nischut, but rather, there were those who pushed to the right, they said, let's give him merit. Ve'elu masmilim lechovah, and there were those who were pushing to the left, those who said, no, let's judge him, let's persecute him. V'chen marei ha'odem v'zahav, hem mekablei kochot ma'adin. And so too, when you see in gold, the redness of the gold, that's the fact that gold has the potential to absorb the strengths of the those that push for red, those the heavenly forces that push for judgment, for persecution. For prosecution. V'hem ayu b'midbar b'mkom ha'churban, the Jewish people were standing in the desert, an area of complete desolation. Shum echelkei ha'aretz shel ma'adin. When it comes to the heavenly forces, the desert is controlled by them. Those angels that control judgment, prosecution, what we call ma'adin, judgment, red. So they were under the angels that are destroyed, that are in charge of destruction. Uferush tetramolin, what does God say? They viewed my tetramolin. That means, the way we explained, that tetra is four and molin are animals, like mules. Vitbonen Aaron bechoach shor. So Aaron, they're asking him, make us a form. This form will get the godly force and guide us. So Aaron looks at the strength of the ox. Vasalem gupa tzurazo. So he makes them a form. Aaron chose to make an ox. The simple reading. We have a medrash from Chazal that he didn't. But the simple reading, according to Pshat, Aaron forms the gold in the shape of an ox. Mekabel hakoch hazeh b'mazalot v'shaot, that according to the times and the constellations, the ox will be able to accept that strength. Sheyore derech hamidbar v'yasiotam. This will be their guide. He'll be able to show them how to travel through the desert. Kevan she'ra'u shor, when they saw that Aaron made their gold into the shape of an ox, Amru ki hu yisiyam tchila. They said, wait a second, how have we managed thus far in this area of desolation? Must be through this form, not necessarily that ox wasn't around, but through this mazal, this godly strength, this angel that's responsible for the areas of desolation, which has the shape of an ox. Dichtiv, as the verse says, Vashem olech lipneim yomam. The verse clearly says God was guiding them, right? They had a pillar of fire before them, they had a pillar of clouds. Uchtiv, it says, Vayasa malach elokim vayvo ben machanei mitzrayim vayi anan vachoshech. God's angel goes between them and the Egyptians. So how does all this work? That the angel goes before them? It was the angel of justice, the angel of prosecution. Uchvar perashti ki achoshek u'esh ha'yisodit shi'i chashucha. V'choach ha'esh hazeh shu'u midat adin mekabel koach elyon min achaya nikret shor shu'u me'asmod. This angel that was guiding them, that brought darkness on the Egyptians, that gave them light, was really the angel that's responsible for justice, which is represented by the animal that's called the ox, which is called the left, which is called the north. Right? We put all the concepts together thus far. Umiyad shirosh nasalem shor samchu. When they saw they had an ox, they were very happy. V'amru kizeh yet tayal tov lifneim. They said, that'll be a good guide before us. Sha'ad achshav kocho siyam ve'elam. Till here, they said, that's the force that helped us and brought us thus far. Ve'im kol zeh lo ishtomem Aaron. To this point, Aaron wasn't worried. Ve'lo ala lipo she'asu ha'acheret. Aaron didn't think they'd do something bad. Aaron thought, okay, we need some kind of compass. This is going to be our guide. Ve'zeh shama v'yara Aaron. Aaron sees the Jewish people. What does it say? Aaron says, tomorrow we're making an altar. We're making a sacrifice for God. Ki ra'ah kol zeh. Aaron saw all this evolving. He saw that they said, this must be the force that helped us thus far. Ve'lo nimna me'asot ha'mizbeach lefanav. And he didn't feel like he has to hold back from making an altar. Vayikra v'yomar chag l'Hashem achar. So Aaron declares, tomorrow we're making a holiday for God. Ve'lo amar le'egel. Aaron didn't say we're making a holiday for the eagle. Ve'lo le'elohim shu kolel kochot v'avodah zarah. You find that Aaron doesn't even say chag le'lokim. God says specifically chag l'Hashem, the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the tetragrammaton, אלא לשם המיוחד, God's specific name, והוא היה סבור שיקריבו במזבח על פיו, he assumed, he'll lead the sacrifices on the altar, ויעשהו והבחורות קורבן לשם. And he and the firstborns will make a sacrifice for Hashem. So I think we're going to pause here and move on to the Ran, unless you guys want to finish this concept. Yitzchak, do we need to change or finish it?
I guess a lot left.
Another 10-15 minutes, but then we won't get to the Ran today.
What is that? Probably finish.
Finish. Okay. So,
it's a good for finish, yeah.
Guys, I'm not asking you for your vote because you're outvoted already. So let's review what we saw till here. The Ramban had said in describing the three types of Avodah Zarah that there's an Avodah Zarah of worshipping the spirits, the demons, and those spirits can only hear what's going on up above. They could tell us what's happening up to the next year. Beyond that, they don't know. The Ramban had said the second type of Avodah Zarah is worshipping the constellations, the parts of the zodiac, the sun, the moon. And the third type of Avodah Zarah is worshipping angels. Let's just finish the summary and then we'll get to questions. The third type of Avodah Zarah is those that would worship the different angels. And angels do have responsibilities in heaven and they do have power, but we're not supposed to worship them. Then the Ramban said that when we were in the desert and we went after the Egel, that was this type of request. The Ramban said, anything else is illogical. They just formed this Egel and they're saying, this is what brought us till here. What do you mean? This wasn't around yesterday. How could they say this is what brought us thus far? So the Ramban says, the idea is as follows. The Jews thought that Moshe was gone. They said to Moshe, they came to Aaron and they said, now that Moshe is gone, Moshe was given the job as being Elohim Lefaro. He was given the job of being God's representative down below. Moshe is even called Elohim by God. God himself tells Moshe, you're going to be Elohim. I'm giving you strength. You're going to be the judge. You're going to be my representation down below. They think Moshe is gone. They said, we need another representative down below who will lead us, who will guide us through this desert. Aaron says, fine. Give me all your gold. They give him the gold. He fashions it in the shape of an ox. Why the shape of an ox? Because we said up above, in God's heavenly chariots, the shape, the face on the side of the left, the face on the side of the north, is the face of an ox. And we said the north is always representative of destruction. And so when they were in the desert, an area of desolation and destruction, the force, so to speak, the God's representative, when it comes to angels or down below, that could be the intermediary between them and God, was the shape of an ox. When they saw that, they said, fine, great. This is the force that led us thus far. Aaron hears this, and Aaron says, okay, tomorrow we make a holiday for God. Aaron assumes he and the firstborns will lead the procession, and they'll make a holiday for Hashem. That's why he uses the tetragrammaton. He uses God's specific name. There's no room for misunderstanding. He doesn't say Lelokim. He says Lashem. And that's where we're up to. So he assumes that he's going to lead it and they'll make a holiday for Hashem. Behem ishkimu mimochorat, and they got up early the next morning. Vayalu holot vaygishu shlamim, they brought sacrifices. V'chaser alashon lo, and it doesn't say that they gave the sacrifices to the ox. V'chem ktiva ishtachvu lo vayizbichu lo, but really later on it says they bowed to the ox and they brought sacrifices to the ox. So they wake up early. They don't wait for Aaron to lead the procession. And when they bring the sacrifices, they're not bringing the sacrifices to God anymore. They're bringing the sacrifices to the ox. And then they changed this ox from being some kind of compass that could accept the godly force that can guide them in the desert into an avodah zarah, an idol. They're from the group of people that they don't say, we don't believe in God. They say, yeah, there's God, and there's this. And based on this, we can understand what Aaron's saying and what Aaron did, based on the simple reading and based on the simple, and what would be the simple understanding of what it says. Shneimar. Moshe comes to Aaron and says, what did you do to the nation? What did this nation do to you that you brought upon them such a sin? What does Aaron answer him? You know this nation. You know they're in bad. What does he mean when he says that? Kilomar badat ra, aval lo amru li ra'a, v'ani lo asiti ra'a. You know this nation. In their thoughts, they were thinking bad. But in their request, they didn't ask for something bad, and I didn't do anything bad. Ki amru li, and then Aaron continues, and he says, what they told me was, kuma selanu Elohim bilvad shelchu lefaneinu. What they asked for was some kind of compass, some representative instead of you that would guide them. Mitam ki ze Moshe ha'ish asher elanu me'etz Mitzrayim. What was their reasoning? Because this man Moshe who took us out of the land of Egypt, klomar she'siyanu ve'oranu ba'aliyatenu, he helped us, he guided us when we went out. Lo yadanu me'aylo. We don't know what happened to him. He was supposed to be back today. He didn't come back. They started the count the day Moshe left. They should have started the count the next day. They figured the 40 days are up. He's not back. What are we going to do? You have 2 million people in the middle of the desert. Moshe says, I'll be back today. He's late. Well, if you're with God, you shouldn't be late, right? Hinei lo sha'alu ela Moshe. All they asked for was for Moshe. Ki Moshe nistalek mehem. Moshe had left them. Uchmo Moshe ayu mevakshim. Aaron tells Moshe, all they wanted was a replacement for you. You were gone. Vasiti kedivrayem. So I did what they asked. Va'omar lehem lemi zahav. So I asked them, who has gold? They all gave me the gold. I fashioned the gold. And out came this eagle. What does it mean, out came the eagle? He made the eagle. What does it mean, it out came the eagle? Kilomar, what Aaron is saying is, yatsa lahem ze hanevad acheichen. The outcome was that this eagle was, if I say what came out of what I did, was eagle azeh, was this eagle, which they're worshipping. That's not what I made. I made for them what they asked me for, a compass in the desert. I made for them a figurine that could accept godly powers and could guide them. That's what I made for them. But the outcome was this eagle that you see that they're worshipping, but that wasn't the initial intent. Shehem afu ha'inyan, they overturned the concept. Shehem afu ha'inyan hazeh shata roeh lefanecha. Kmo shekatub, just as it says, vayar et ha'egel. It says, Moshe stood there and he took in, he saw the eagle. V'alashon hazeh me'anvato shel Moshe. And this terminology that it says "Vayetze ha'egel hazeh," and out came this eagle. That's Moshe's, that's Aaron's humility. Shelo ratza lomar vehem nishtachavu lo vayizbechu lo. Aaron doesn't want to go into detail and say, and then after I did what they asked for, they overturned what we initially agreed on. They started bowing to it. They started sacrificing to it. All he said was "Va'amar vayetze ha'egel hazeh," and the outcome was this eagle, what you see here. But Aaron didn't want to specify. V'chen tirei od, and furthermore, you can see, says the Ramban, shekatub b'parsha, in the parsha we find God tells Moshe, lech red, go down, ki shichet amcha, for your nation has destroyed, saru maher, they have left swiftly the path that they should be on. Ki amal tchila, initially God says, v'yishtachvu lo v'yizbichu lo, they bowed, they sacrificed to this eagle, v'achar kach, and afterwards, they declared, v'yimhu el elohecha Yisrael. And they declared, this is your God Israel. Now, when God recounts to Moshe the sins of the Jewish people, God says, they've destroyed, they've left the path, they've bowed to the Egel, they've sacrificed it, and they declared, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, this is your God. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is that v'hem amru b'yom ha'ishon, v'hem b'yom ha'ishon amru Eile Elohecha Yisrael. The first thing they did was the declaration, Eile Elohecha Yisrael. When God recounts it to Moshe, God's recounting it in reverse order. Why? God says they bowed, they sacrificed, and they declared Eile Elohecha Yisrael. But really, they declared Eile Elohecha Yisrael on the first day when Aaron made it. Why does God leave that for last? Mipnei ki im hakavana tova Eile Elohecha Yisrael sheiluchah me'eretz Mitzrayim ein avodah zarah. Because if all they meant was, this is the force that controls the desert. They're right. God created an angel in the shape of an ox that does have responsibility over the desert. If all they meant was this force is in charge of the desert and within his territory we've lasted when we left Egypt, that wouldn't have been idol worship. But after they bowed it, uzvicha, and sacrificing to it, so then they're saying this is God. Then they're saying they're starting idol worship. That's a major sin. Because then they said, the angel that controls this shape, he's the one that took you out of Egypt, he brought you up till here. וכן תראה שאמר אחרי התנצלותו, and that's what you find after Aaron's apology, it says, ויהל משה תם כי פרעו הוא כי פרעו אהרון. Moshe saw the nation wild, Aaron got them wild. Gina otam. What does the verse say? It seems to deride them. But it seems a minuscule description if you compare the description to the sin. It should say, he saw the nation, they were pagans, they had left God's ways. It doesn't say that. It says they were wild. What does that mean? They were undone. The enagnai maspik lo of the avdazaha, that wouldn't have been enough if they were all pagans suddenly, if they had changed their color in one day. Ela shamar shu gnai lechulam, lotam sheina avdazaha le. But rather, the verse says, Moshe saw the nation as a whole. Even those who were not worshipping Avodah Zarah were problematic at this point. Because everyone was witnessing what was happening. You had the individuals, the 3,000 people who said, this is God, this is our leader now, this is the force that enabled us to come thus far. And then you had the rest of the nation that didn't protest. Mm-hmm. Where were they? So that means that in their minds they were contemplating, wait a second, we are in the desert, we do know that the desert is controlled by this godly force, and we did make it thus far. They were contemplating, they were wavering. Now you don't get killed for contemplating. They were wrong. But that's why it says, Moshe saw the nation keep paruahu, they were undone. Here he thought they were standing at Sinai, they were believers, and now he finds them standing there, and the nation sees in their midst 3,000 people serving in a golden calf, and they don't step up to do anything. So when the verse says ki faruahu, that's a reference to the Am, the nation as a whole. Ve'al ken amar mi l'Hashem elai, that's why Moshe declares, who's for God come to me? Laduna avdim avdaz rabbi faresia, to judge those that serve the idol openly, la'avir maleim shemetz davar, to remove this disgrace from the Jewish people. Ve'ata ha'parsha brura ufshuta, and now, based on this, as the Ramban, the parsha is clear, it's simple, ve'apsukim kilshonam uchmash ma'am, when you read the verses, they could be understood according to their simple understanding and what they mean. And everything I said here, says the Ramban, is what our sages taught us. What our sages taught us in the Medrash Rabbah on Shmos. So that brings us to the conclusion, basically, of the Ramban's explanation of the eagle. Guys, questions? Yeah.
Okay. So the verse said that there were three types of there was spirit, there was the celestial beings, and the angels. What about also like the Baal and the Asherah? What is that into the?
It would seem that the Asherah was a way, Baal and Asherah were ways of bringing down the forces of those angels. If I'm not mistaken, that's you could see the Malbim in the beginning of Shoftim, he goes into that. Like Baal, very often was the shape of an ox, really. They wanted to bring the forces from above, below. But that's what it would seem. Trafim are for sure that way. Baal and Asherah, for some reason that's what I have in mind. I'm not sure. I think so. Okay, so that brings us to the conclusion of the Ramban's explanation of the Ega. Bezrat Hashem, in another week or two, we'll finish the Ramban. And Torah Hashem Tmimah, guys, start thinking what you want to learn next.